A group of Jacksonville residents are picketing outside the District 117 central office in Jacksonville this week to fight against perceived discrimination practices at the district. One of the protesters, Eric Robinson, says the group was formed with the focus of getting the district to stop refusing to hire any black teachers.
And the old lie is nobody has applied, and we have plenty of people that have applied and was never given any type of consideration.
Robinson says the time is now to stand up for this cause and says the group hopes to accomplish one goal from this picketing.
I would like to see at least one black teacher in every school that we have, but I know that'll never happen, probably not in my lifetime.
Of the children who attend school in District 117, 7.9% are black. District 117 Superintendent Steve Potosik had no comment this morning.
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle. Water is usually a good thing in the summer. A pool, a sprinkler, even a garden hose can take the edge off the summer heat. But extra water in the house isn't a good thing. That pesky leak could lead to bigger problems. Call Doyle Plumbing and Heating, and they can help you with all of your plumbing needs. That's Doyle Plumbing and Heating, the oldest and most trusted name for plumbing work in the Jacksonville area.
One man remains in custody after allegedly threatening to shoot police officers during an incident in Beardstown last night. 31-year-old Andrew Wright of Socorro, New Mexico, was booked at the Morgan County Jail for threatening a public official, aggravated assault, and disorderly conduct at around 11:15 p.m. last night. Cass County Sheriff Bob Fair says Wright's aunt claimed he threatened to shoot her and his grandmother during an argument at the grandmother's house on West 5th Street. Fair says the aunt and grandmother each went next door to the neighbor's house and called the police. The aunt also reportedly alleged that Wright threatened to shoot any police officer that responded. Wright was apparently in his grandmother's garage when police showed up at around 9:30 p.m. He was arrested without incident several minutes later after the arrival. Fair says no gun was found on Wright. The sheriff added that Wright has denied all of the accusations. A former Waverly police officer accused of sexually assaulting a 16-year-old girl while on duty last year will serve jail time for the crime. 31-year-old Jeremy Angelo of Chatham pleaded guilty to the charge of criminal sexual assault this afternoon in Morgan County Court. Angelo will serve 4 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections with a mandatory supervised release period between 3 years and life. Angelo must serve at least 85% of the 4-year sentence. He was also fined $1,850 in order to pay $1,280 to the Prairie Center for Sexual Assault. A second count of aggravated criminal sexual abuse was dropped as part of the plea deal. Angelo is accused of having sex with a girl while on duty in the back room of the Waverly Police Department on March 14th. Angelo was found with the girl by the department's assistant police chief and resigned later that night. Angelo is not eligible for probation. He has entered into an open plea in October in 2013 and withdrew that plea last December after Morgan County State's Attorney Robert Bongean said he wasn't properly admonished when he entered the guilty plea. He initially thought he was eligible for probation. Angelo's attorney, Richard Cruz of Jacksonville, had no comment on today's sentencing. One other sentence was handed down in Morgan County Court this afternoon. 41-year-old Austin Trumbo of the 700 block of North Main was fined $2,200 for unlawful possession of cannabis with an intent to deliver. Trumbo was also sentenced to 2 years of probation. The toy is back in town, the new Kiwanis toy. The big toy, as it's known, is a set of playground equipment that's replacing the old set in Community Park. Jacksonville Parks and Lakes Superintendent Bruce Surratt said it arrived in the park this morning. Surratt stated on this morning's AM conversation on WLDS that the installation will take place on Friday and Saturday.
We've got a couple of bobcats lined up with augers on them. We've got 55 holes to dig for the base, and my crew and some helpers from Kiwanis will do that. Then we'll throw a little concrete, let some of that dry, and then we've got a big volunteer day for Kiwanis and others on Friday and Saturday, hopefully to finish her all up, bane or shine. You know, I've been around so long, I was here when we did the other one. 30 years ago. It'll be fun, and we're really looking forward to it. My kids played on the big toy for years and years and years, and now we'll erect the new Kiwanis toy, and the grandkids will play on it.
The old big toy will be disassembled, according to Surratt.
It does have a lot of rotted wood in it. That back in 81, that's about the last year they ever used any wood. But it was certainly worth the money and lasted 30 years, and that's a long time. So we're going to take it apart, save what we can. We're going to try to have a competition between the three colleges here in town to repurpose some of the stuff, make some park benches, make some bike racks or something like that, give out a little prize to the winner. So we're pretty green around here. We're not going to throw away anything that we might be able to use in the future somewhere.
Funds for the big toy, which cost about $55,000 between purchase and installation, were raised by the Kiwanis Club of Jacksonville. It's located southwest of the small community park bandstand. Surratt says the new location was chosen based on meetings with community officials concerning Grierson Days and school track meets. Farmers in the West Southwest District continued their strong crop production through the week full of scattered showers in Illinois. According to the latest crop progress report from the USDA, multiple districts across Illinois are ahead of the five-year averages. USDA statistician Mark Schleuchner says soybean progress has been outstanding.
93% of soybean acres are blooming. That compares to 95% for the five-year average. 89% of soybean acres are setting pods. That compares to 74% 1 year ago and 79% normally.
The local district is reporting even higher numbers as soybeans are setting pods at 88% and blooming at 97%. Unlike soybeans, though, Schleuchner says most of the corn crop in Illinois is slightly behind average.
34% of acres have reached the dense stage. That's a little bit more mature than dough. That 34% of acres compares to 13% 1 year ago and 38% normally. So actually a little bit behind normal progress for denting stage in the corn crop.
The West Southwest District had no problem staying ahead of the state average, though, reporting 55% of corn crop in the dented stage. Likewise, 91% of corn in the local district is in the dough stage, which is above the state average of 86% and the five-year average of 76%. Topsoil for the week in the West Southwest District was 11% short, 69% adequate, and 17% surplus. Subsoil was 28% short, 56% adequate, and 13% surplus. Farmers in the local district were able to get nearly 4 days of suitable field work in, which is a day under the state average. Temperatures were down and precipitation varied across the state this past week. Schleuchner has the numbers.
Temperatures were 4 degrees below normal for the week. The northwest part of the state averaged about 0.1 inch of rain, but the southeast part of the state averaged almost 2 inches. Overall, the state average was just over 1 inch of rain, and that was about 0.15 of an inch above normal.
The local district received 1.58 inches of rain and an average temperature of 70.3 degrees. Federal auditors say the state of Illinois miscalculated how much money it was owed in federal Medicaid funds, leading to overdrafts that the state was slow to repay. The Inspector General for the U.S. Health and Human Services Department says the state's faulty math led to Illinois taking in an average of $60 million per quarter, more than it was justified for at least 3 years. The state did repay the excess funds each time, but the delay of 2 to 6 months meant the federal government lost interest on that money. The state says it's addressing the problem.
Dawes Family Funeral Homes, for families who care.
Some people prefer traditional funeral services, others prefer cremation. Some want an elaborate ceremony, others don't want one at all. Dawes Family Funeral Home offers all types of services because we know there are all types of people. At Dawes, we try to meet the needs of everyone, so stop by or give us a call today.
Dawes Family Funeral Homes, for families who care.
We now have the following death and funeral announcements to bring to your attention this afternoon. Jesse Dale Coates, age 31, of Bowling Green, Missouri, and formerly of Greenfield, died Monday at Pike County Medical Center in Louisiana, Missouri. Jesse Dale Coates. Arrangements are pending at Buchanan and Cody Funeral Home in Jacksonville. Ray Nelson Francis, age 86, of Arnsville, died Monday at his home. Ray Nelson Francis. A graveside service will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday at Arnsville North Cemetery. The family will meet friends from 10 a.m. until noon Thursday at the Williamson Funeral Home in Jacksonville. Dennis Keith Denny Winters, age 63, of Whitehall, died Friday at Boyd Memorial Hospital in Carrollton. Dennis Keith Denny Winters. The family will host a celebration of life service at 11 a.m. Friday at the upstairs at the Paradise Club in Whitehall, with private burial at Pine Tree Cemetery.
Bulletin News is on the air and online as it happens. Don't forget to check us out on the radio at 1180 AM or 107.1 FM.